innocent until proven guilty. It's a fundamental tenet of the U.S. judicial system, and it's the backbone of the criminal process. However, at least 5% of the carceral population is wrongfully convicted. That means that about one in every 20 judgments puts an innocent person behind bars. More often than not, it's a person of color. There is now some recourse within the system, but exonerations are lengthy, complicated, and legal resources are not easily accessible. So what does this say about the U.S. criminal justice system? Joining us to discuss is advocate and author Anthony Hinton. Anthony was released in 2015 after spending 28 years on death row, falsely convicted for robbery and double murder in 1985. He's now community educator at the Equal Justice Initiative. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront. You were wrongly convicted for two capital murders in Birmingham, Alabama. Almost four decades ago, police falsely identified you. They then searched your mother's house. They found your mother's revolver and linked you to the killings without any other physical evidence. As a result, you spent nearly 30 years in prison. Talk to me about the specific factors that you would say influenced your arrest and your conviction.
Well, let me first say thank you for having me, but the police officer did not find a gun in my mother's house. I am the one who told them that my mother owned a Smith & Wesson handgun. And I told them because I knew that I hadn't committed a crime, and I was brought up to always tell the truth. And that day I told the truth, and little did I know that they would get the gun, tell a lie like the gun matched, and it would cost me almost my life. And this system is a system that treats you better if you're rich and guilty, opposed to if you're poor and innocent. I didn't have the money to hire decent defense, and therefore this system, if you don't have the money, can easily convict you. But it can convict you more easily if you're born black and poor, and when you have to rely on a state upon an attorney, which I had to rely on. And so a conviction was very easy for them to obtain and sentence me to death. Knowing that I was innocent, they didn't make an honest mistake. They did it on purpose. This system is working exactly the way it was designed to work. And it was designed to put men of color behind the prison wall.
For many people, they could wrap their minds around a mistake. They could even wrap their minds around police believing that you're guilty and being a little overzealous in closing the case because they know they got the right guy. But in your case, you're saying they just made the stuff up. They lied. And it's not just your case. We hear about false confessions. We hear about government misconduct, planted evidence, this kinds of stuff all the time. It's hard for many Americans, though, many people around the world, to wrap their mind around the idea that these things are happening willfully, that these aren't just hardworking police officers who sometimes make a mistake?
Well, you know, I often tell people that I come in encounter with, this system have been doing this from the 1800 to the 1900. Back in the 1900, a white woman could say a black man looked at her wrong. He was charged with a crime. No evidence. Men was lynched, no evidence. And so we still have this modern-day lynching. We just have it in a different form.
We're starting to see reports coming out as people look into these exonerated cases, and we find the kind of flaws you're talking about. Now, on a positive note is that we're seeing more and more exonerations in recent years. Are we headed in the right direction?
We should never have to get to that point. Being exonerated, I've been exonerated and have not been offered or given one penny, have not even been offered an apology. When I try and file for compensation for 30 years of my life, I'm told that since I was not found guilty by a jury, I am not eligible to receive anything.
So once the charges are dropped, and it's been realized effectively that you spent 28 years in prison for something you didn't do and that the case against you was manufactured. What does the state say to you? You said they didn't apologize. Did they say anything?
They haven't said anything. In fact, I'm not going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be honest with your peers. I didn't hear them say these words, but I was told tell the nigga to be glad that we just didn't execute him. And that's the end of that.
Just be glad we didn't execute him. And him yes. being the N-word they used. Allegedly. That's an incredibly... I don't even know what to say. It's overwhelming. And that's the end of the journey. But I want you to take me a step back, though. But talk to me about the fight to get the conviction overturned.
It took Brian Stevens and the Equal Justice Initiative 16 years to finally get a court, the United States Supreme Court, to rule in my favor where they granted me a new trial. I goes back to Birmingham. The state of Alabama comes in and say, Your Honor, it is with great sadness that we inform you that we lost the gun. And so while we thought they was looking for the gun and the bullets, which they claimed they had lost, they had asked one of the old experts to come in and reexamine the bullets and the gun. The same man that said it matched 30 years ago, 30 years later says the gun do not match the way it did in the first round.
Wow. As you mentioned, you didn't receive any money. You didn't receive any reparations after your conviction was overturned by the Supreme Court, despite the fact that an Alabama State Senate proposal was supposed to give you $1.5 million. Compensation for wrongful conviction is possible, but it's not uniform. It varies from state to state. Not to mention the process can be fraught with complications as exonerees try to access the money that they're due. How is it that somebody can be falsely convicted, spend decades in prison, and still has to go through so many hurdles just to get restitution?
It's easy. I'm gonna give you two reasons. Live in the state of Alabama and be black. That's all they need to deny you. You know, I suffer from 30 years of being in solitary confinement. I would never look at you or this camera and say that I'm free. I was just released. I still go through all the feelings and emotion when there's another execution. I haven't been offered to see a psychiatrist or psychologist. They just open the door and say, hey, try to live the best life you can, but we're not going to help you one way or another. I sit on death row 28 years. I witnessed 54 men being executed. I have to remind myself that I was so close to the
I mean, there's a trauma to what you're describing, sir, that it would sound like you need therapy, you need some kind of response to post-traumatic stress from being in that kind of context for so long. So when I think about that $1.5 million, and I'm sticking there just for a second, because I want people to understand what you need that for. This isn't like you're trying to make a payday. This ain't like hitting the lottery. You lost 30 years. What is that money necessary for?
That money necessary for me to get out and find a decent doctor that can treat me and perhaps help me. I needed it for, I don't have money tied up in the Social Security. Didn't put anything in the Social Security for 30 years. So therefore I have nothing coming out. I needed to live on, because who gonna hire someone that been on death row for 30 years, have no computer experience, have nothing, and most people is afraid of you because you've been locked up like a caged animal. This system was designed, as I said, to put men of color. And we would have people to believe that we're dealing with mass incarceration. We're not dealing with mass incarceration. We are dealing with a new form of slavery. Mm.
There was a study by the American Psychological Association this year. It found that 80% of exonerated people experienced at least one serious traumatic event while incarcerated, and more than half of that group showed significant signs of PTSD. What should people know about the trauma that's experienced by people who are wrongly convicted in prison?
People should know that when we put innocent men and women, especially on death row, that trauma is there forever, because we don't have the money to go out and seek a qualified psychiatrist, to try to least get us back on the right road. At some point, it gonna hit you and you're gonna just cry like a baby. You're gonna scream like someone is chasing you. And so no one knows what I go through. Every time there's an execution in the state of Alabama, I know exactly what that inmate is going through. I know exactly what is taking place because I was there for 30 years. This is something you can't turn off and turn on. I deal with it as best that I can. And I want to, more than anything, if the state of Alabama gave me $1.5 million, it wouldn't come close to trying to make me whole. It's just a shame that we have a death penalty in this country, and men and women goes to death row and stay for decades. And a lot of states say, hey, you're free to go, and that's it. They owe you no reparation. They owe you nothing. And they act as though they're giving you something, and they act as though we doing you a favor. We didn't execute you. That you should be thankful. That you should go home and be quiet. And yes, do I think that at any time they can knock on the door and say, I did something else? They did it one time. Why not again? And so all of that plays in my mind every night, every day. All of this plays in you psychologically because of what they did to you before. And so people see me, they see a healthy looking man, but they don't see the scars and the mental the fact that is inside of me. I have to deal with that, no one else.
Mr. Hinton, thank you for your work, and I wish you luck. I hope you get justice, and I hope you get everything that you deserve from the state of Alabama. Thank you so much for joining us on Upfront.
Thank you for having me.
That is our show. Upfront, we'll be back next week.